Barrington Stage Company will be presenting the world premiere of Dancing Lessons, the new romantic comedy by playwright and BSC associate artist Mark St. Germain, from August 7th through the 24th. Directed by Barrington Stage Artistic Director Julianne Boyd, Dancing Lessons stars John Cariani and Paige Davis. John made his BSC debut as Dogberry in last summer's Much Ado About Nothing. He is also the playwright of the play Almost Maine. Paige Davis is known for Broadway's Chicago and TV's Trading Spaces. Dancing Lessons centers on a young man with high-functioning autism who seeks the instruction of a Broadway dancer now sidelined with injuries. As the relationship unfolds, they're caught off guard by the surprising discoveries that they make about each other. Dancing Lessons marks the ninth play by Mark St. Germain that BSC will produce, the eighth world premiere of his work, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Mark, along with John Cariani and Paige Davis, to the program. Thank you very much for being
with us. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for having us,
Thank you.
A delight to have you here. So, Mark, how long has this been in you, this story?
It's probably been really worked on it about a year ago. Before that, I had the idea and kind of played with it.
What brought you, you think, to this particular topic?
I knew a guy who had a son who was very severely autistic, and I knew them when the boy was about 5 years old, and he was totally uncommunicative. And we'd have lunch, and he would just kind of sit there, balled up, and as if he wasn't paying attention to anybody. And about a year and a half, I met him and his father walking down the street, and it was a totally different person. He was open, he was friendly, and he remembered my birthday and everything we talked about at the table.
Wow.
So he fascinated me, and that got me into researching autism.
The idea of this play, as I remember, as I mentioned in the introduction, of a romantic comedy. So was that in your mind from the outset, that you wanted this to be perhaps lighter than average?
It must have been. I think I wanted a break from the historically based plays. And it was really a lot of fun to do because there weren't as many rules as there were trying to stick closely to actual characters. This was fun to invent them.
I would think it is. So it's like going to the playground, right?
It is. It is. I mean, people say this, that something wrote itself, but this did. I felt as much as an audience member writing it as I did a writer.
Although I think there were some rules that needed to be stuck to, and we've definitely done our due diligence to make sure that autism, specifically a high-functioning person with Asperger's, and also the particular condition that I have as a dancer with malignant hyperthermia, which Ooh. Is an allergy to anesthesia. We've done our due diligence to make sure that both of those things are represented correctly.
Malignant hypothermia.
Mm-hmm. Who knew?
I did not. I did not know that. So John, what has this been like playing this man?
Well, I got the script last year when I was working on Much Ado About Nothing. I think we had opened, and I think that's when Julie told me that she had a play that she wanted me to do a reading of coming up, and I think it was in September we did it. We finished Much Ado About Nothing in August, and then a couple weeks later I came back up and did a reading of the first draft of Dancing Lessons, and I was excited because I have a cousin who's autistic, so he's high-functioning, he's in college, and I got a chance to, I mean, I knew the world, and we read the play in front of, it was fun to rehearse it and just read it. I mean, we thought it was a fun play, but then when we did it in front of people for the first time, it was, whenever you do a reading of a play, when you do it in front of an audience for the first time, you can kind of tell if there's something magic or not, and this was magic. That's what it felt like. I think we were all kind of surprised.
We were all taken aback by it.
Yeah.
You had the stage reading in March?
No, it was in, we did it, September was the first one.
In last year?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And then you had another set.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you learn in that process?
Well, you can feel an audience, first of all, when they're paying attention, when they're not. We wanted to make sure that the characters were evenly based in their power and their stories. That was something we worked on. Because Ever was automatically interesting because of his habits and his way of thinking. And we wanted Senga, the other character that Paige plays, to be equally as interesting.
Readings are invaluable to the creative process. It's really hard to create in a vacuum, and at a certain point you have to open it up in order to learn about it. I was very fortunate in that I got to come to the script after all that work had been done. not that we haven't continued to, we really have continued to refine it even more. I actually am a dancer. I'm a Broadway dancer.
Right.
I'm an injured Broadway dancer.
She gets it.
I really, really get it. There are numerous other things that are written in the play about Senga. I mean, the list is, it's actually,
amazing.
It's unbelievable how many things I relate to about Senga in this play that have nothing to do with being a dancer. It's shocking. I kind of felt like maybe he'd read my journals or something before he wrote this play. It was very strange. So I've been able to help refine it a little bit. But I was very fortunate to come to it at the end. And what I found was a play that was 100% believable. Certainly my character was believable. And I just found it to be funny, which was that shocked me because it's a very touching, moving play, but it's really funny.
Yeah.
And Mark just has a real gift at writing dialogue, I think. It just flows. Even trying to, you know, memorize the scenes for the audition, it was kind of easy because it's like, oh, well, of course I'd say that next. It just made sense.
Sure.
It's written well. It's easy to learn. That's a good sign for an actress when for an actor, when it's easy to learn, it means it's written well.
And you use that term of a play that writes itself. Of how many times have you had that luxury of sort of feeling that it just kind of goes?
Twice.
Yeah.
And there have been a good amount of plays.
So it doesn't mean that it isn't work. It's still a lot of work. But it also would seem that that is more natural and true to you then, if that happens.
Yes. I've never had ideas that kind of come quickly, and this one did. And I wasn't even sure what was coming next most of the time or how it would end. And it was really a pleasure. The idea came to me, and just then I knew it would be a play. And that usually doesn't happen. You spend a lot of time thinking about it.
I think it's hard for artists to entirely codify what that particular experience is. It's hard to explain. I think songwriters, it happens to them too. You know, maybe they belabor over a number of songs and come out with something so wonderful, and then all of a sudden there's a song that writes itself in 10 minutes, and where did that come from?
I think in some respects there's
a divinity to it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think those events come just in time to save people so they keep writing. Because it can be so hard. And then you get the little gift of the one that comes easy. You're like, oh, no problem. I can do this.
And then you search for that for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
It happen
it's
again.
Like a drug, yeah.
John is a terrific playwright. Almost Maine is a wonderful play. And it's done all around the country.
That means a lot coming from him.
Absolutely.
I haven't read it, so I don't know.
But when I saw you, when were you last on Broadway? Was it Time to Kill or what was it?
No, I've only been on Broadway once. Fiddler on the Roof, 2004.
Oh, Fiddler on the Roof.
Yep.
My husband was in A Time to Kill.
That's right. Your husband was in A Time to Kill. Patrick Page.
Let's not derail into Patrick Page. He's got an amazing career. But we're here to talk about Dancing Lessons.
The Pages are awesome.
I just have to ask this one question.
I know what's coming.
Okay, go ahead. What is it?
The page thing.
Yeah. So you never thought about it, right?
Of course I've thought about it. That's why I didn't take his last name when we got married.
Okay, but I mean, you never thought about saying, I will take his name, because that would be cool.
Well, actually, it's a very long story. I was considering, I'll try to make it very brief. Okay. I was considering taking his last name because at the time, I really was still going by my first name, which is Mindy.
Right.
I really kind of always went by Mindy Page. I used both names, like Cindy Lou. Mindy Page Davis. And he proposed, and it was like, okay, well, if I'm going to be Page, I really should drop my middle name. So then am I going to be Mindy Page Page? Am I going to be Mindy Page, like Davis Page? And then are people going to think I just reversed my first and my last and middle names or whatever, you know? And then I actually booked Trading Spaces, and they asked me if I would go by only my middle name, which is something I'd always wanted to do. And I said, well, I'll do it, but I don't want to be Page Page, so I got to tell Patrick I'm not going to take his last name. And I got to make sure there's not a Page Davis in the union, because, of course, you know,
right.
my professional name was Mindy Paige Davis, and now I'm going to go by Paige Davis. So anyway, it all worked out.
We're really fortunate because Patrick is understudying both parts.
That is fortunate.
Yes.
Yeah, and that voice would work for anything, wouldn't it?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at a show like this, John, do you take on someone with this condition, what is it? Paige was talking about of how she related to it. So how do you relate it to it? How did you relate to it within your family connection and be able to be true to it?
Well, I learned early on that there's a speech about how all autistics are different, just like everybody else. And that was kind of a relief to realize that, oh, you don't have to behave like a stock character because everybody has idiosyncrasies. So that kind of freed me up to not have to worry about, oh, wait, I thought autistic people didn't like this, so I can't do that. That's not really true. Everybody's different just like everybody else. So that freed us up a lot. And he helped a lot with consistencies in the script as far as he made decisions about this guy that led me. And so and some of the reading, you'd realize like, oh, if he doesn't like to have his feet touched, usually that's associated with people don't like to be touched by others. They don't like to be squeezed. Some like to be squeezed. You know, learning all of the variations in a particular person, just like anybody else. Right. That was the freedom, is actually, and that's what Julie kept helping me realize too. And also watching my cousin develop as a human being, like he's managing it very well. And everybody who has somebody who has back pain, you learn to manage it. You know,
right.
Everybody who has something that's not quite right about them, you learn to manage it. And we all have things like that.
Sure.
So I guess just learning to manage your shortcomings, and we all have shortcomings, so it's not even a shortcoming. It's just
your differences.
It's who
you're managing
are,
your differences. Yeah.
Yeah. And
we all know what that's like.
Right. Painfully aware of what that's like.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so for you, Mark, the actual coming up with those developmental attributes.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you decide to say, okay, well, this will work for this and bring the character? Because you don't want it to be distracting, right? I mean, you want it to be true to the character, and yet so it's still someone that we relate to.
Yes. I did meet with different specialists. I met with different people with autism. And as John said, there is no one autistic mold that people fall into. So I was able to make him pretty much the person I wanted to, plus a lot of the quirkiness in him are probably some of my own. So I just kind of put that in there.
I think that's what makes the play so interesting is there's a lot of Mark's heart and soul in it. I mean, there's always heart and soul in your plays, but I feel like these characters are directly ripped out of Mark's heart.
Idiosyncrasies,
yes. And
but so, his warmth and his personality are in these people. It's really neat.
Now, when you were with us from the beginning through the readings, so then you come into it, and then is it just natural?
And now it's amazing.
Yeah. Now.
Well, no, the neat thing was, though, is that Julie was really wanted a dancer. And she kept
Julie
telling,
is the artistic director Julianne you
Boyd,
mentioned.
Our dear friend, yes.
And she is directing the
she
play.
She was really set on having a dancer. And we saw a lot of great actresses. And Mark
wonderful
and I were like,
actresses.
They're awesome. She's awesome. And Julie was like, I don't know. I feel like I want a dancer. And we were like, well, you want a good actress. You know, and I thought we saw some really great people. And she kept saying, we want a dancer. We want a dancer. Paige came in and I saw the pain of someone who is dealing with injury as a dancer when she talked about having difficulties as a dancer. And I was like, oh, I didn't know how deep that runs in a person, and you can
see
it.
Well, sure. is there a point where, well, first of all, was that always your career goal?
To be an injured dancer?
No, to be a dancer. was that the original goal?
Yes.
Okay.
From the time I was 13. Originally, I was going to be a gymnast.
Yep.
But then I realized I loved all the in-between moves more than the tricks. And I was like, oh, I just really love to dance.
Okay. And then you say, all right, I'm going to do this. And then...
I just knew.
And then full bore.
Mm-hmm. I saw Bebe Neuwirth and Sweet Charity on Broadway, and I was like, oh, my God, that's what I want to do. And I just knew it.
And so then at what point did you say, okay, I can't do this anymore, and take something like Trading Spaces?
Oh, no, there was never a decision like that at all. I auditioned for Trading Spaces, really being completely pushed by a dear friend who was like, you should do this, you should do this, you're perfect for this, you really have to do this.
You were perfect for that.
And I said to her, I'm like, I've never done TV, I've never hosted anything, and I don't have a background in interior design, so how am I perfect for this job? And she was like, I just know it. And it really was
a derailment
for me.
Yeah.
And luckily for me, I was, as much as I found out how much I completely loved hosting and really enjoyed the medium of television, I never really had to choose. I was able to continue doing theater. A lot of the theater I did on my resume was after and during Trading Spaces.
Right.
So I never had to choose, and I still don't want to choose.
So when did the injury come?
Which one?
Okay.
I've obliterated my ankle. I've destroyed my knee.
So
I've ripped my hamstring. I currently have a herniated disc. I mean, you know, you name it.
So can you dance again? Or we
don't
know?
I'm dancing now. It's just I'm not able to dance really the way – I don't know if anybody will ever see again me truly dance at my capacity.
Right. And be able to go – full bore, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, I can dance full out things that are relatively easy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have jumps anymore. I mean, I can still jeté. It's just much lower. And it's just harder. Everything hurts, frankly. And there's just, it's just a lot of pain. Most of it I just deny and, you know, keep going. But, I mean, I'll keep dancing until I quite literally can't. I'll take any amount of pain. I don't really care.
So it's fun to do something like this where you can rely on that knowledge, but don't actually have to jump very high.
That's true. Although, well, I don't want to give anything away.
Okay, all right.
But it was a wonderful thing because John was talking about Julie wanting a dancer so much. At the beginning of the process, everybody does stage readings. So when everybody got on their feet, and just to see Paige move is remarkable. You know she's a dancer. And
by the way she moves.
Right.
You do.
Yeah.
And the I'm a dancer t-shirt.
Yeah.
Well, she tells us all the time. She never stops talking about it.
I'm a dancer.
A dancer dances.
I was just having this amazing conversation. We had Chita Rivera on the show on Monday.
Oh, wow.
Good
and, and you know, she was talking
and now
about,
you have us. Wah, wah.
I would say my excitement level is equal, I have to tell you. So,
All right.
But she was talking about that sensation of aging as a dancer but that, you know, she feels that she's always like, once you have that, you're always that dancer. Like, you never lose that.
You never lose it. She's really an incredible idol and mentor to me, and always was, of course, growing up, and then being able to work with her and to know her and to learn all about her injuries and to watch her as an aging dancer. She's been just such an amazing, incredible mentor and role model to me. I mean, that woman's got a million pins in her legs,
yeah,
or especially her one leg. And, you know, she's like almost 80 years old.
81?
81.
Oh,
81.
And, we celebrated her 80th, of course. And, you know, she's still moving. She's still kicking to her forehead and dancing. And
doing and Candor and Ebb at Williamstown.
So, yeah, I mean,
that's why where she was in. So, so it's amazing. But I thought that was interesting that even though you have that aging process, there's never a transition. She considers herself to be that dancer.
Forever and ever, so, yeah. On my deathbed. I'll be shenaying into heaven.
And again, with the t-shirt.
Probably shenaying into hell, but...
I don't think so.
Conversation for another day, I guess. Barrington Stage Company will be presenting the world premiere of Dancing Lessons, the new romantic comedy by Mark St. Germain, from August 27th through the 24th. August 7th through the 24th. John Cariani and Paige Davis are starring in that production. You can find out more by going to barringtonstageco.org, barringtonstageco.org. Thank you all for coming in. It's a delight to see you all. Thank you so much.
Thanks to
Julie for letting you out to come over and then
out of our
go
cage.
Back to work. Right.
And
again, barringtonstageco.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.